Hey there, it's your happy Asian woman host, Alice Chen. Do you know any teens who are feeling overwhelmed with the college admissions process? If so, send them my way. I run Bright Story Admission Consulting, a boutique company that focuses on college application essays. A little about me. I'm a Stanford grad, a professional journalist, and I also coach other essay coaches. I love teaching people how to write, and I'm so thrilled when my students get into schools that they love, like Stanford, MIT, and the UCs. Learn more about my company at brightstory.info. Welcome to Happy Asian Woman, a show to help Asian American women find more joy in love, work, and life. I'm your host, Alice Chen, a professional journalist and entrepreneur. I've also been married for almost 15 years, and I'm the mother of two young girls. If you want to build more community, come join our supportive Facebook group. The link's on my website, www.happyasianwoman.com. I was raised by tiger parents, and I've spent a lot of my life battling what I want versus what's expected of me culturally by my parents and society. To be truly joyful and content, I think it's important to understand who we are, our likes, our dislikes, our needs, and our desires, and to live authentic lives. Now that I'm a parent, I want to change the way I raise my kids. I want my kids to be self-motivated and to think for themselves. I hope they follow their God-given passions and talents and love themselves. That's why I'm so intrigued by Iris Chen's work. She's the founder of the Untigering Movement and is also the author of Untigering, Peaceful Parenting for the Deconstructing Tiger Parent. Not only is Iris passionate about untigering, she's also a proponent of unschooling. Iris spent 16 years living in China, land of the tiger parent, and now resides in her native California with her husband and two sons, ages 11 and 13. I've read her book and follow her on Instagram. She puts out really thought-provoking content, so I'm excited to have her on the show. Iris, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Alice.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm sure you're really busy. So thank you. I appreciate it. So jumping right in, how do you define unschooling?
So unschooling is just the practice, there's a lot of words I'm going to throw at you, but it's like the liberatory practice of living, loving, and learning with our kids. Mm-hmm. Outside the construct of compulsory school. Mm-hmm. So it's believing in the natural innate curiosity of children to desire to learn and gain the skills and knowledge they need to live the lives that they want. Mm-hmm. And it's self-directed, consent-based, and non-coercive.
That's interesting. And then how do you define untigering?
So untigering for me is a term that I also coined to just describe my own journey of mm-hmm. shifting away from tiger parenting, both as someone who was tiger parented by my parents and also someone who practiced it for many years on my children.
Yeah.
So it's, moving away from that very strict, authoritarian, domineering type of way of relating to our children, where it's really based on power,
right?
And shifting to one of partnership mm-hmm. and of honor and respecting our children.
Yeah, I love that idea. So how old were your kids when you started to change to untigering?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a process, but probably around when my kids were six and eight, okay. around there. So there were a good number of years when I was very much in the tiger mom mindset yeah. of these are the things that I expect you to do yeah. and you need to follow what I say. A lot of punishment, a lot of rules, you know, and it just got to this point in my relationship with my oldest where yeah. it wasn't working. And that really challenged me to see that something that I was doing was you know, contributing to the situation and yeah. Escalating the conflicts. And so I had to really find a new way to yeah. learn how to be with my kids.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of learned that when my kid, my oldest, was two.
Okay, early on, that's good.
I realized it was so hard to control her, you know? And so I knew that, I mean, we were definitely clashing by the time she was two. And so I've been working hard these past few years on trying different parenting techniques. But it's been definitely a challenge to unlearn how I grew up and also to like apply these new sort of philosophies in the moment. So it's definitely challenging.
Sure.
So, and you mentioned that you grew up under tiger parents. So can you tell me, like, do they still influence you? How do you handle that push? I mean, do you push back? They see the way that you're parenting and unschooling. That's like the antithesis of tiger parenting, right? There are, I'm guessing, no standardized tests and, you know, it's so hard to score them and compare them with their peers and things like that. So tell me a little bit about how you handle that relationship with your parents or other people in your community. Who do you have people in your community that are still tigering?
Tell sure. me about that. I mean, I'm, you know, part of the Asian American community.
Right. So I know.
You know, even though my parents were very strict in other aspects, they actually gave me a lot of freedom in my education. So when I went to, you know, when I studied in college, we could choose whatever we wanted to study. There wasn't a lot of pressure in that way, you know, so I became an English major and that's not very common. So what I noticed was just my community around me and other Asian American friends, they were all going into the same fields. There were very few of us who were studying liberal arts or doing something outside of like being, you know, pre-med or business or stuff like that. So but there's still, you know, that expectation of parents knowing best, of a lot of rules and strictness that I grew up with, even though it wasn't so strongly focused on academics. And I think part of it for me was I was living in China at the time. So I was miles away from my family.
Okay.
We had already, you know, in a lot of ways, cut those apron strings because they couldn't control us. They couldn't, there wasn't a lot of input into our daily lives because we were, you know, halfway across the world.
Yeah.
And in some ways that did allow us, my husband and I and my family, my nuclear family, to figure out what were the values that were important to us as a family, apart from all like the cultural, social, family influences. What did our life want? Like, what do we want our life to look like? And I think, especially living overseas, it's like you're not part of the local culture, and you're not just an American either, especially as, you know, bicultural people like we are. So we really had to like create a life and values that made sense for us as Chinese Americans living in China at that time. But coming back, like, I don't know any of my friends that I grew up with who are pursuing unschooling in any way. There are maybe a few friends that are sort of like moving in that direction or interested, but for the vast majority, they're, you know, in public school, doing the things that most of us grew up doing. I think for me, just coming to a place where I don't need to feel pressure from whatever everybody else is doing, that if I am confident in the choices that I'm making for my family and really convinced in my gut and my heart that this is what I want, then even though people might give me negative feedback, I don't need to take that on. I don't need to internalize that or, you know, question that. I mean, obviously, I think there's still a lot of doubt and anxiety and fears that I go through because I didn't grow up with this lifestyle. And so it doesn't feel like there's a guarantee of, you know, what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of unknowns.
Right.
But I think it's still just living each moment, trusting in the process, being part of other communities that are unschooling so that I can see other families that are doing this and see like, okay, it can be done. These kids went through unschooling all their lives and they're doing great, you know? So yeah, hearing other stories, other families of people who are doing it, I think is really helpful for me.
Yeah, that's so true. And even when you were talking, I was like thinking, just because your kids go through public school does not mean you'll know how they'll turn out, right? It is such a big experiment.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah, so people think that, you know, just because you go through school that you will automatically get a certain result. And that's just not true. There's so many unknowns. The world is changing so quickly.
That's true.
You know, you can go through all that schooling get out with a bachelor's degree, and then there's an economic crash and people have a hard time finding a job, right? So yeah, there's no guarantee.
Totally true. So what does unschooling look like in your family?
I think it's sort of hard to answer this question because it depends on the day, it depends on the season in life. And I really want people to be clear that unschooling isn't a system, because it's really based on each individual child and each individual family. So some families love to be outdoors all day.
Yeah.
Some families travel all the time. Some kids are gaming all the time. So it really depends. For my family, we just understanding our temperaments and just our nature, we're very much homebodies. So I'm not out doing activities all the time. I might choose one or two a week or whatever, but most of the time we're at home. The kids wake up whenever they want to. They make themselves breakfast, and pretty much for the day they get to choose how they use their time, whether that's drawing or researching on the internet, watching YouTube videos, gaming, reading, all of those things. And then throughout the day, there's obviously family responsibilities or ways that we want to engage one another. So we encourage them to take a mid-morning break where they just go outside and move their bodies or, you know, take a break from their screens or whatever. We always have lunch and dinner together. I think as a Chinese American family, just having that time together is sort of a priority for us. So some other families might not eat together, but for us, that's just a time that we always have together, lunch and dinner. And so there's also meal prep, there's cleaning up, there's chores, not chores, just family responsibilities. There's taking care of the cat. You know, there's all these things that life throws our way that we need to deal with. And so, yeah, I think in the evenings, we've decided together as a family that we would try to stay off our screens, or at least offer screens doing individual things. So sometimes we'll watch a movie together, we'll play games, we'll just hang out together. Once a week, now that things are opening up, we're doing more park days with friends, getting outside with multi-age groups of kids to play together. So yeah, I think, in a lot of ways, it looks like a Saturday every day. Like a Saturday in some ways.
So there's no curriculum, there's no guidance, no pressure. It's truly 100% you want to spend 8 hours playing video games. That's cool. I'm asking.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, it is because there's so much, you know, pathology or fears around video gaming. I know that a lot of parents are freaked out.
I'm one of them. Video games, right?
I know. I was too, because in the beginning I was, you know, we didn't do that much screens, that we were trying to really control and limit screens. And I actually wrote a blog post about this, about how I decided that that me controlling them in this way didn't allow them to self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't allow them to learn how to use it mm-hmm. in ways that where they felt good about it. And mm-hmm. it was oftentimes like when we try to control our kids in this way, they usually yeah. push back. There's a lot of conflict that arises because mm-hmm. of this.
Yeah.
And then they sort of crave it because they know that they right. only have a certain amount of time when they right. can have it, right? Whereas right. if we, like, it's not taboo, it's not off limits, we aren't trying to control them. Mm-hmm. We will engage with them and have conversations when we notice that it's, you know, affecting them in some way, but it's always collaborative, it's mm-hmm. always discussion. It's right. not me as the parent deciding for them, you only get 30 minutes mm-hmm. a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, I think I've read the studies where like, if you restrict sugar too much, then later in life they binge. And so it's so hard, like as a parent, to know how much of a line to draw and things like that. But I'm really curious. So in terms of reading or any sort of like, there's no formal content, then they just can literally, like my daughter reads Geronimo Stilton, like the same 5 books over and over, because we haven't taken her to the library. And so she's like, I'm bored, but I'm on my Kindle reading the same book. Like in your house, that would be like totally cool. Just do what you want. I'm just curious. Yeah.
No. These are good questions. These are the questions that all my other friends ask me too. Yeah. What do your kids do all day? So yeah, I think it really is when our kids are motivated yeah. and interested in something,
yeah.
they can spend all their time doing it. And it can also, you know, branch off to other interests. So right. for example, like my kids are really into Minecraft, mm-hmm. but it's not just Minecraft. They're also researching how to build different things in Minecraft. My son started writing like a backstory about what's happening in his Minecraft world. So he's like right. typing this whole story. He's collaborating with his cousins or his friends who are also playing. Mm-hmm. So there's actually so much learning that yeah. is happening through one, you know, one activity or one interest that they have. The thing is, when we have a schoolish mindset about things, we think right. that it's sort of compartmentalized, like here's yeah. you learn about biology, you learn about math, you learn right. about English. But in fact, life learning is not like that. It's right. all integrated, you know. Right. So when we are, you know, immersed in something and interested in something, there's so many avenues that you can mm-hmm. go and explore mm-hmm. when you're given the freedom. I think what happens for us as parents is that we sort of divide between what is educational and what isn't. And part of unschooling is just understanding that all of life is learning. Mm-hmm. Everything is relevant and everything is quote unquote educational. We don't have to right. divide it into what's like academic book right. learning and what is it, because life isn't like that.
Do you yeah. give them like a mindset of that, or is it like, because I think that I agree with that, but I also think that it's like a philosophy. And on children, I'm just curious, like, do you give them little speeches like life is about learning or you're learning, or are you just like, you know, go ahead and, you know, I'm like curious how much you try to shape their philosophical outlook on education. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. So mm-hmm. I'm curious how much you direct them in that. Sort of.
Yeah. Well, I think we have been, you know, we talk about our choice to unschool so they understand yeah. our motivations and our beliefs about it.
Yeah.
And because, you know, many of their friends don't. And so we do have to talk so that they also know the reasons and motivations why we as a family have chosen not to go to school and why that makes sense. So when we talk about like, when we talk with them about, would you want to go to school, or what do you love about your life now? You know, they can articulate the freedom and the sense of, you know, just plunging fully into the things that they're interested in and the value in that. I think we don't necessarily sit down and have speeches about it because in right. some ways it's like the most natural thing. Mm-hmm. It's school right. that is not natural.
Yeah.
It's right. it's this construct of school yeah. that we force kids into, that once we normalize that, then when they don't have that structure or that control, they're like, what do I do with my life? They don't right. know. But for kids who are more de-schooled or more unschooled, they just like, this is just life. This is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's not something strange to them.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. And even when you were talking, I was like, well, who's to say that the curriculum that they're learning in school is more valuable and relevant, right? Like I feel like for me personally, I would love to homeschool. I've never taken that leap because it seems like it takes a lot of effort. I'm worried that they'd be missing out or something like that. But I think it takes a lot of courage. And at least I know more like homeschoolers, and it seems like the parents are highly involved in like the curriculum, the driving, the co-op, the support and all that stuff. And so my husband's like, no, you can't do that. But I mean, I guess for unschooling, I mean, do you take that Minecraft essay and do you go over it with a pen to like help them with their writing technique? Or is it truly like in 10 years, you'll be able to write like a college freshman if they're on their way to college? Like how much feedback and support do you provide? Or is it just 100% self-directed?
Well, I think that's again where it goes back to consent-based, where if he invites my yeah. feedback, I'm happy to give it. You know, right. if he you know, brings it to me and says like, Mom, can you read this? And can you give me some feedback? Can you check on the spelling or whatever? Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to give it. But if he doesn't, then I'm not going to come in and try to assess him or try to find a way for him to prove to me that he is learning in ways that make me feel good. Because a lot of those assessments, a lot of homework,
right. tests,
all those things are not for the kid.
Right.
It's for the adult and for the parent mm-hmm. to assess whether or not the child is meeting the adult's standards.
Right.
And so for me, what it is once I don't necessarily have those arbitrary standards.
Yeah.
I don't believe that at 8 years old, you absolutely need to learn this particular right. skill.
Right.
That it is organic and it yeah. is based on the kid's, you know, desires and needs and personality and life. Mm-hmm. Then I don't feel a need to make sure my kids like meet some sort of standard. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all we have time for in this episode. Join us next time when we talk about what Iris's expectations are of her kids' careers, how to intrinsically motivate your kids, and how to apply an unschooling mindset if you're in public school. Talk to you soon.